You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and Black Talk Radio Network. And I am your host, Brother Oshie, Hotel family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're having a good day today to get all the things done that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to be done, it must be done, and it will get done because you will do it regardless or irregardless. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. And there will be programs that are dated and titled. You also can go straight to it by putting in Baba Oshie. BABAOSHI.net. BabaOshie.net. We'll take you right there as well. There are programs that are dated and titled, and we will always thank my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku, for his work. This is African Perspectives. Once again, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. On Mondays, Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9 with Dr. Mawia Kemban and her daughter, Nataki Kemban. And that's followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Forgot to listen yesterday, man. Got hung up on all kind of other stuff. So I missed Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers yesterday evening from 8 to 10. Got to catch it. It's always a good conversation with the brothers and sisters that Dr. Rogers always has. You know, Dr. Bruce Bridges, and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan, and many others. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. That's from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays, from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council, from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Go to WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba is preparing to take a group of our brothers and sisters to Tanzania. It is pronounced Tanzania, but most people pronounce it Tanzania. But they pronounce it Tanzania. That is November 18th through the 29th. And then next month, December 24th to January 5th, 2022, to Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th to Senegal and Gambia. And once again, May 24th to June 5th, 2022, to Ghana. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org and check out these trips. Everything you need is on the website. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. That is AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated.
HAPASHAL stands for Helping Africans by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. That's what we must do. The brothers and sisters at HAPASHAL Incorporated, they have an excellent program with HAPASHAL Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. They also have the Kashi Project that is ongoing as we speak in Ghana. The buildings are up. There's video on it. I don't know if it's video. It's pictures. I know there's pictures. So, brothers and sisters, go to HAPASHALincorporated.org. The Ledge Group. Sorry. Ledge stands for... Ledge stands for the Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. They have an excellent program they have in Tanzania. And they deal in the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. In fact, membership has its privileges. If you become a member of the Ledge Group, you have an opportunity to buy land in Tanzania at $250 an acre. You have the opportunity to buy land in Tanzania at $250 an acre. Check out theledgegroup.com. Abibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, re-Africanize yourselves. De-Whitenize yourselves. Understand the importance of being involved with Abibiatumi.com. All information that is there. Learn languages. Historical information. Abibiatumi, when you go through the website, make it a favorite. Make it a favorite. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph Debert Abernathy's, across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, and it's right up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which, of course, is open on Friday and Saturdays from 1 to 7. And the educational program that Baba Olutunji has is online now, and it's up. So check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, along with those other entities in the West End in Atlanta. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, artifacts, all kinds of good stuff. Check her out. Give her a call. If you're looking for a book, she doesn't have it. Believe me, she'll get it. My contention, she might have it or already have it. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. That's I-20 going east, going towards Augusta, going east of Atlanta. And the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, love the way Brother Kazimde Ajamu has, you know, done great work in modeling the coffee. They have a coffee bar serving delicious African coffees. And so it's going to be outstanding, yeah. Yep, it's going to be outstanding. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the black dot. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Home Village, the Homeland Village in Macon, Georgia. I went there for a program with Dr. Umar Johnson. I was very impressed with all the things they have to offer. Been to Macon, but I've never been to this place before. And to me, if you go to Macon, it is the most African place that you need to be. For sure. 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. It is open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Homeland Village. us lifting us to economic development, cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Their Thursday night broadcast is this Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. The call-in number is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, please contact my good sister, Shelly Amonset, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located in the International Discount Mall. Sanjay Dash Aidi, Sister Gabby Arulia, the outstanding work that Sister Gabby is doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Give our sister, go to the website at Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, and check out how you can become a donor, support this great work that Sister Gabby Arulia is doing with our young people, our children. You know, they're committed to education, health care, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Check it out. All right. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti. I can't speak enough about the work that they do. I always support them. They have this Saturday, they have workshops, the Message to the Warriors workshop for Baba Baruti from 12 noon to 3. It's $20 for warriors and $10 for warriors in training, our young men. And of course, you make your donation to either PayPal or Cash App. If you use Cash App, the $ Ya M Baruti. Or if you use PayPal, Ya Baruti at yahoo.com. And put the information in. Message to the warriors, your name and your email address, so you can get the link. That's this Saturday. And then also, too, later that afternoon from 4 to 6, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Mama Ya, N-E-Ya, will be giving her workshop, Healer, Heal Thyself. Same thing applies. Put the information in, Quarterly Sister Circle, your name, and the email address to send the link to, okay? And the cost is $10 for adults and $5 for teens. So, and then Kabuka, remembering the middle passages through the eyes of our ancestors, Kibuka. That's going to be November 20th from 5 p.m. to 9. And the donation is $20 a family, $15 a couple, $10 for adults, and $5 for young people, for your children. Okay? All right. That is. And if you wanted to donate to Akabin House, you can do that through PayPal, Cash App, or just send a check of money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And also, too, Baba Baruti's books, you can purchase them through AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. Those outstanding books. Baba Baruti's a prolific writer. So much stuff here. Okay. What am I doing next? The Enye Sesim, of course. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah. November 2nd. Miseducation is the process by which field niggers are converted into house niggers. Gloria Peace. Whatever they may be, warriors are of the field. Regardless of the bloodline of which they are the culmination, warriors are of the field. They see the value in this choice and appreciate the honesty and authenticity and the authenticity of the uncompromised self-esteem that can only grow there. Warriors view what many would see as highly desirable creatures' comforts with intense, knowledgeable skepticism. These feelings of distaste do not come from a preference for discomfort. No, they don't. Rather, they rise from a study of awareness of their source in an anti-African society. They know that everything has psychological and political strings, and rarely do the strings attach to things produced on Urugu's assembly lines that favors Africans. They have learned to think as Africans at war with their people's destroyers. They do not want to subsist in these houses, regardless of how difficult and seemingly disadvantageous this stand may appear to most. The freedom and power that comes from choosing to be African is too precious for them to relinquish for a few hand-me-downs. True warriors are deeply rooted in the soil, and they are unconvertible. Affirm, I am of the field. Affirm, I am of the field. November 3rd. What has this world come to when the sun can no longer warm God's creatures? Edwig Dandekat. Without the sun's warmth, there's only ice. Cold, frigid, hard, ungiving, deadly ice. Literally, without this life-giving gift, this planet's surface would be no more than a vast monochrome field of ice. Figuratively, when assessed socially and culturally, and not through the eyes of physical science, It already is. The Earth's crust is ruled by a mind forsaken by love and life, therefore bereft of warmth. As such, it is a collective mind frozen in an angry hatred of what such, what it can never hope to be. Ice is ice, and because that living anger has forced us to abide under its sunless domination, the spirit of Ra has been removed from our lives. This lack of divine energy has severely obstructed our spirit's ability to generate the warmth we need to be African, to be human. Moreover, because it has been cold for so long, we have allowed ourselves to give up on this natural warmth. To rationalize this, we have even come to see the progressive decline in planetary warmth as our normal state of existence. We have defined survival and success in terms of our ability to adapt to the kinds of insanity that can only the cold can bring so well. It has caused us to turn from spiritual fullness, warmth, and comfort of Ma'at, even blaming it for our failing and falling temperatures, and not us for having turned our eyes from its light. In fact, most of us are no longer superficially reacting to the ice's efforts to pressure us into it. They have sunk so far beneath the glacier's surface that they no longer want to feel what it means to be warm human beings. They have become one with the cold. They can no longer remember that the sun most effectively shines in order to keep the cold at bay. Affirm, I can still see and feel the sun. Affirm, I can still see and feel the sun. November 4th. Until the killing of African men, African women's sons becomes as important as the killing of Caucasian men, women's sons, we who believe in freedom cannot rest. Ella Baker. Until we are consciously aware of who we are through the eyes of our ancestors, fully empowered and no longer under Urugu's domination culturally and socially, politically, economically, educationally, spiritually, and militarily, and fully vested in our own sovereignty. This will never occur. Until then, we will continue to witness the genocidal movement against African people through the blatant killing of our men and women and sons and daughters. Clearly, we will not be resting for quite a while. Knowing this, at this point in time, and until this issue has been permanently resolved to our advantage, we must think matter-of-factly as a nation at war. In the spirit of Ma'at, we wish for our enemies only that which they wish for us, no more, no less. And for all of our centered, empowered, resilient, humble, dedicated, studied, uncompromisingly accountable warriors working on the front lines for justice and sovereignty, we will always wish nothing less than protection, peace, and healing, for victory is already ours. Affirm, I will never be at rest without justice. Affirm, I will never be at rest without justice. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, the Inye Sesem. Oh, yeah, we haven't, today we're going to talk about and read from The Arrow, the newspaper of the Institute of the New World, the Organization of African Unity. We haven't had an Arrow in quite a while. So I need to make sure I contact them. Because I want to not only get a prescription, so all of us could get a subscription to the Arrow. I believe we should. But I want to put my radio program information, an ad in there as well. But yesterday, I went out to Stonecrest, which is east of here, I-20, just right off of I-20, off Turner Hill Road, you know, and if I'm going east and I make a right, I'm going south. So I make a right, going south, and right near the Bojangles restaurant on the left, there's a street there. Make that right on that street, and then to your left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. It's a converted Targets that was abandoned, and this brother has it, and there are going to be all kinds of shops, and the new Black Wall Street Market, there'll be street names after, I guess, Black Wall Street. I know A.G. Gaston, of course, A.G. Gaston was the man back in 1921 and before in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So they have a new Black Wall Street Market right here in the Atlanta area, which is east of it, east of the city of Atlanta, in Stonecrest. It's not far. It's not far at all. And what I want to do is, you know, because this week they had a soft opening. They had a soft opening last weekend. They're going to have another soft opening, not this weekend, but the following weekend. You know, what would that be? So make sure you get it right. Yeah, they're going to have a soft opening on the 12th and 13th of November. And then I think right around Thanksgiving, they're going to open permanently with a grand opening, just in time for the holidays, and many shops. I'll let them explain it. You know, I'll let them explain what's happening. And so, I got some emails here that says, yep, I got that. Yeah, I got that information I'm in a bond to. I sure did. I don't know. I tested everything. I believe I'm on the air. I believe that I am. But I'm going to play this from the New Black Wall Street. And I'm very excited about New Black Wall Street. and the brothers who started it. The address is 8109 Mall Parkway, Stonecrest, Georgia. And it's part of the Allen Entrepreneurial Institute in New Black Wall Street. So brothers and sisters, it's not very long, so check it out. And here we go. Okay, where are we at here? What happened? You know, I tell you, always something. Sometimes the technology don't work for me, man. Well, you know, I'm a neophyte in that respect, so please forgive me. I'm a neophyte in that respect, so here we go. I think this will work.
Black Wall Street Market is an extension of the Allen Entrepreneurial Institute, whose mission is to increase the size and the number of minority and women-owned businesses throughout the U.S. and globally. The marketplace is the newest of many efforts that have happened over the last 20 years that the organization and its founder, Mr. Bill Allen, have taken part in order to carry that mission forward.
The New Black Wall Street Market is about growth, it's about development. It's about opportunity, and it's about us all working together to see our community become healthier and stronger.
The marketplace provides a physical location where those business owners who are interested in expanding their business or perhaps starting a new business can locate right here in the city of Stonecrest.
I'm from a very small town, 3,500 people, Dumas, Arkansas, when I grew up there. It's not much larger now. But yet, I believe I've been able to accomplish things that people that have much more opportunity in larger cities have not been able to accomplish. So I want to send a message to young people. It's not where you're from. It's not about your family background. It really is about where you're going. You can make a difference.
We've created the marketplace so that it's right size for business owners.
Having this collection of entrepreneurs and businesses in one place will help to increase visibility for those businesses. So they'll have the benefit of a whole crowd that are coming there, not only for the other businesses in the marketplace, but also for our curated events. We provide marketing support. We'll also provide training, customer service, and a certain level of excellence that our merchants will be able to expect in the location.
This country is based on economics and small business ownership, and it's the wealthiest country in the world, and much of it was built on the backs of slavery. So I really feel, why is it that we don't own more things in this country, which was built on our free labor? Many generations ago, in the early 1900s, we as a people were pursuing that. I think we need to take on more responsibility within our community to own more than just the houses and the clothes, and to be more than just consumers of goods and services, but providers of goods and services to our, especially to our own community, and even more so around the world. I mean, we are created equal by God in the sense that when he gave out intelligence, he didn't shortchange black people and all that he gave us to overcome the barriers that some men have put in front of us. And we can do that if we, as the old saying, use a head for something other than a hat rack.
When you see people of my generation protesting for Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, we're asking for change. The New Black Wall Street Market is that change. This is the first time that someone has given us the opportunity to come together as minorities, work together, shop together, eat together, put our resources together, and build together.
As we look at really creating systemic change in our country, it's going to be important that we do things differently than we've ever done them before. Many of the challenges we face in communities are economic in nature. Small businesses meet that challenge by providing 70% of jobs that exist in this country. So when we create and we make opportunities for entrepreneurs and small businesses to be stronger, we create jobs, we tackle educational challenges, and we can really leverage our investments.
Approximately 3 years ago, I put in an offer to purchase 330 acres, 325 acres, hadn't been surveyed, had no idea what I was going to do with it. And somehow I saw something on television that talked about Tulsa, which I had heard about when I was a child, nicknamed the New Black Wall Street. As a result, I said, I think I will take this land and create a new Black Wall Street village. And I was hoping that there would be something positive to talk about in 100 years other than what happened 100 years ago.
I get tired of corporate dinners and functions to where we talk about the theater of the problem. When do we get down to making real solutions happen?
It's a very complicated and ambitious project. When I had to estimate the cost, it was astronomical, somewhere between $800 million to $1.5 billion. I took a look at a piece of property that I already had owned for several years, and that is a former Target building, and said, why don't I take this building and create a proto model, a prototype to the village, with 100 plus shops, restaurants, entertainment, community activities there. A mentor of mine and pastor, Eugene Rhodes from Crawfordville, Georgia, used to often say, all we have in this life is what we've given. And so I wanted to do more and leave a legacy for young people, especially people of color, to understand that what your mind can conceive and your heart you believe, you can achieve. And that's the impetus that caused me to create the New Black Wall Street Market for others, hopefully years to come, to understand what is possible for them to achieve. I am Leicester Bill Allen, and this is
the New
Black Wall Street.
I say. The New Black Wall Street. I went there yesterday and talked to a brother named Sean, and somebody. I didn't go inside. They were doing a number of things, but they had a soft opening this past weekend, and they're having another one, not this weekend, but the following. And then they're going to have a grand opening for right around the holiday time, and where they're going to, present to the community the New Black Wall Street for your shopping enjoyment. You know, with over 100 shops, and they had avenues and streets named, of Tulsa and so forth. But we'll see. I didn't make that, and so I'll look forward to coming in. And also, I want to get out there to see Shirley Amundset, and she's out to the International Discount Mall, and I know that's not just us. That's any and everybody that can open up a place in there. But supposedly, the New Black Wall Street. Now, you heard him say minorities. God, I hate that word. I hate that term. Number one, the word minorities have always linked European, Caucasian, white women. They showing a hell ain't no damn minority. There's more white women than anything. You know, and white women, European Caucasian women, were able to take advantage of many of the affirmative action programs that were initiated. They didn't do a damn thing, but just rode the coattails of us, just like many other so-called, quote, minorities. No. And so I'm not sure if that's the case with you know, with New Black Wall Street. I would love to think and hope that, you know, the people who are in the businesses that are there are not, you know, some, quote, minority females, because they did mention that. But they are predominantly, or even in fact, exclusively American, African, or African businesses. Because that would really be the New Black Wall Street, because that's what Black Wall Street. Now, I don't know for certain if there were some indigenous people who have some businesses, because we're talking about Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're talking about Oklahoma, where many of the indigenous people were marched to in the Trail of Tears, you know. But of course, what made that area, you know, wealthy was, of course, oil. Many people had oil on their land, you know. So, but just hoping and, you know, thinking about, I wish it was just us. just us. We'll see. So I definitely plan to be there when they have the second soft opening in 2 weeks. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. And then, of course, when they have their grand opening. Looking forward to see. I know one business is, that is Brother Mike McGee Jr., my good brother from Milwaukee. He has a business in there, CBD. He's been opening up a number of them. He has some in a few areas in Wisconsin. So he jumped on it, I guess, when he found out about the New Black Wall Street. And so, in fact, that's how I seen it. He was on Facebook, and he did about a 30-minute piece of walking around and talking to some of the vendors, looking at some of the areas and so forth. Yeah, they're still doing a lot of work. They're making permanent stores, not just a bunch of, you know, little kiosks and so forth, but stores themselves. So it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. And that's going to be the New Black Wall Street, located just south of Stonecrest in the Stonecrest Mall. It's an old Targets that the Brother Allen and his group, the Allen Enterprise group, is going to make into the New Black Wall Street. So more of that coming. In fact, I'm like to see if I can contact somebody who can talk specifically about the New Black Wall Street. So those who listen, you'll have a keen understanding and awareness of what it's all about and who's all in there. And, you know, yeah. So we're going to look at the Arrow newspaper today. You know, it used to come out monthly. Now it's quarterly. And comes out of San Antonio, Texas. I've always encouraged and will continue to encourage our listeners to subscribe to the Arrow newsletter, the Organization for African Unity. They have a lot of good information in it. It's about, I don't know, what about 16 pages of just good information. And, you know, the Arrow is located in San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio, Texas is a quarterly news publication of the Institute of the New World. Organization for African Unity, they have Black Letters to the editor and other comments are welcome. In remembrance of James Phil Johnson, founder and managing editor, Babu Phil. Copy editors and contributing writers, Judy Freeman and Kamara Woodlawn and Sheila Woodyard. Kamara Woodyard and Sheila Woodyard. They have been coming to a box in Tsum Tsum. In fact, they're the ones that helped produce the newsletter, The African World, that is given out by Mama Marimba at a box of Tsum 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 and many other publications that she gets out to other parts of the country and to the continent so people can read what's going on. Now, if you want to write to the Arrow, it's 646 Home Green Road, Home, H-O-L-M-G-R-E-E-N, Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220. The phone number is 210-333-0118. That's 210-333-0118. And their email address is at OBUINC, Organization for Black Unity Incorporated, at gmail.com. At gmail.com. That's some good articles. It's always, I tell you, I'm always impressed with the articles that they have, the people who they highlight. They're talking about nutrition and use of herbs. They're talking about the ban to ban menthol cigarettes. Then they highlight some of our ancestors, Marcus Garvey, Queen Mother Moore, Kwame Ture. Then they have a Pan-African news brief section, you know, of things that are going on in the world as it relates to African people. And it's asking too, become a friend or member of Organization for African Unity. As a friend or member, you'll receive a membership card, the newsletter, as well as quarterly packets of updating you on the organization's progress and happenings. Send $50 annual contribution, $50, yeah, and a copy of your driver's license. Oh, okay. To the OBU Incorporated, 646 Home Green Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78220. Yeah. Then they also talk about the cost for advertising and other history information, self-help educational programs. All of these things are in this newsletter. Brothers and sisters, I would suggest that you, this $50, I understand, but this is well worth it. And like I said, I want to take out an ad, you know, because I think it's vitally important to support the Institute of the Black World, the Organization of African Unity. Here's some tips for when Africans come together. Number one, evaluate our relationships in order to make improvements. Number two, discuss how the children are doing and how we can help them do better. Number three, discuss how we may become more informed and active in our communities. Number four, work out a plan for community organizations getting involved in politics or on any level. Number five, discuss our interaction to ensure it is cooperative and not competitive. Number six, discuss if you are consciously managing your thoughts, words, and deeds, or if you are following along with popular culture. Yeah? Ashe. The Organization of African Unity. They need to have a wish list. They're looking for somebody to donate 5 desktop computers, 2 classroom projectors, a kitchen sink and cabinets, and a toilet, 2 filing cabinets, 10 gallons of forest green outdoor paint, tile for classrooms, and so forth. It's a wish list. They have a bookstore, Black Voices Bookstore, your source of African-centered books, featured items. One of the books, of course, is the in this two-volume work, African People and European Holidays, A Mental Genocide by Reverend Dr. Ashaka Musa Bear Shango, who I share a birthday with, Ashaka Musa Bear Shango. It's an excellent book, especially at this time of year with these holidays coming up. Discusses the origin of European holidays, Easter, the 4th of July, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. As he stated, one of the things among the many we must examine is the celebration of European holidays. African people must ever keep in mind that these holidays are tributes to Euro-American nationalism. One of the sacred purposes of this series is to help redeem and safeguard us from mental genocide. That is to say, mind destruction. They have an investment club, the Onyx Investment Club, the Nat Turner Scholarship Fund for Freedom and Excellence. So you see, this is great work. Business and finance, and they talk about Marcus Garvey. Yeah. Here's a note to the readers, why you should subscribe today. Over the years, Africans from the diaspora have gained a wealth of information via the Arrow at no charge. We are asking our dedicated readers to become paid subscribers. Your subscription helps us to continue to research and compile information, produce and print our newsletter, as well as disseminate the information to African people. Your $25 annual subscription, remember, I'd rather you go ahead and attach that $25 more to it than that $50, and so you can be a contributor as well as get the newsletter. We'll ensure you continue to receive the Arrow newspaper and remain informed about African people and our impact on the world in which we live. In the future, only paid subscribers will receive the Arrow. We thank you in advance for your continued support. You know, at the beginning of the newsletter is a narrative that is put forth by, if they still use Babu Phil Johnson's title in his byline, but because he has been an ancestor now, I think about 4 years, but still great information that they produce, and you'll see when I read about it, talking about the African family. And it's a good piece, very good piece. And, of course, they have a nice article here on Ida B. Wells Barnett. Critical Race Theory and Our Students by Derek Bell. You know, about what critical race theory is and what it is. I think if we have time, we'll get off into that, because we're looking at critical race theory from our perspective. In fact, the Caucasian, that Juan Jonkin, I think it is, yesterday, a Republican who supports Donald Trump but did not want to campaign with Donald Trump. He did not want to campaign with Donald Trump in Virginia. See? They supported Donald Trump. They support the lie that Donald Trump puts forth. That's why the Republicans enacted all of these draconian and very restrictive voting laws with the intent of suppressing the voting of people. Because they know they can't win a straight up election where there's freedom to vote for everybody. They can't do it, you know. So they won. I believe they're going to win in New Jersey, too. So the governor of Virginia, as well as the governor of New Jersey. And, of course, Donald Trump takes credit for this. You know, he takes credit. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll get off into it as a remembering Baba Rinoco article here on Baba Rinoco, you know, many others. I love the Arrow newspaper. Believe me, I do. I love it. And we're going to get off into the main article on the front of the page. So, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us, but we'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you. Sodekar. I'm Wanyuo. They call me the Wicker. I am not one of you. I would like to make you one of us. All you have to do is just listen to my worms. Then you will know why they call me Wanyuo.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Larry Graham, Graham Central Station, The Jam. Love it. Larry Graham is, man, that's a tough brother on that bass. Larry Graham started out with Sly and the Family Stone. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. From 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kambon and Ataki Kambon on Mondays. Following on Mondays at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10, every first and third Monday is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. Every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And on Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Once again, I'm reading from the Arrow newspaper of the Institute of the New World, the Organization for African Unity, which we so desperately need. Once again, the narratives that they have at the beginning of the page with Phil Johnson's byline, although he's been an ancestor for quite a few years, but he's very pointed. So Babu Phil is just, man, when I met him, and I've mentioned this before, in Houston at the SHAPE, where we had the National Black United Front conference. And he brought with him about 15 or 20 people with him, a lot of young people. They were dressed beautifully, and I mean, they really made that conference. In fact, without them, that would have been tough. But the fact that they were there, and they were there for the duration, it was beautiful. And so, always give honor to that brother. Brother James Phil Johnson, Babu Phil. The African family, learning from the past and planning and building our future together. The African family's condition and rejection of and humiliation experience living in a country that shows no respect or consideration for African humanity. Since us searching for answers and to why. Due to time, energy, and danger searching for truth took, many of us accepted the answers provided by the captor, while a few pressed on. We were told African men were cursed by God to bear water and cut wood for their European brothers forever. Based on the books, newspapers, televisions, and other everyday interactions, this lie was believable. With the overwhelming reinforcement of the lie, some gave in and settled down, way down, to the life of the enslaved Negro. This Negro life was a wretched life, beatings, rapes, burnings, branding, being hunted, being sold, castrations, bleedings, prostituting, hangings, and the starvation of our people. African men and women testify to that fact. African men, women, and children testify to that fact. Our people were filled with so much hurt, pain, and suffering. We sang and prayed hard that God would have mercy and deliver us. Some of our more determined brothers and sisters continued to search the past for answers and paid a heavy price. Laws were enacted to punish enslaved Africans for learning to read. In some places, it was punishable by death. Yet the drive to know persisted even in the face of death. As our awareness grew, our thirst for freedom grew, and that thirst had a great need to be satisfied. It became increasingly difficult for the enslaved or the captor to control Africans. The interaction between our people with information and those without began to bear fruit. As the many insurrections broke out, fear became the constant friend of the captor. After the insurrection panic of 1741 in New York, captive Africans who were not represented by counsel were tried and convicted upon insufficient evidence. In 1831, Nat Turner, on a divine mission, led an uprising in Virginia that left some 60 or more Africans dead. This growing determination to be free was being fueled by knowledge of self, as well as the pride and dignity that came with it. Our people learned that we came from a mighty culture and that we could be mighty again. Armed with this newly found truth, the African family awaited its leaders' call for liberty and liberation. The leaders knew captivity had a very negative impact on our people's minds, bodies, and spirits. To function as a free and cultured people again, we needed to return to the original culture. In our history lay the information concerning the high culture which had made our ancient families a great nation and people. However, the captivity was not ready. The captor was not ready to let us go. So the masses of our people, after Emancipation Proclamation was signed, accepted the captor's subculture. Weighted down in this armor, we set out to be just like the captor. We bleached our skin to make it lighter. We put lye and hot combs in our hair to make it straight. Anything we could do to alter our Africanness, we did, just to belong. As time passed, we became acutely aware that even though we spoke the same language, ate the same food, wore the same clothes, and worshiped the same God, we were still, as we are now, not accepted as equals. I repeat, we are still, as we are now, not accepted as equal. One of this is a bewilderment. Out of this bewilderment came the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. He encouraged us to look to the past for more understanding. Then we could formulate workable solutions to our problems. He was convinced that self-hatred could be eliminated by studying the beauty of our heritage. On this caring, loving command, many of our mothers and fathers began to look back. They found that we were descendants of the original people of the planet, as verified by the archaeological findings in Kenya, Southern Africa, in the ancient portions of Africa, of the oldest human bones found to date. When they looked back, they found that Kemet, the cradle of civilization, was developed and ruled by African kings and queens, as verified by the ancestor, Dr. Joseph Ben Jokanen, who was an African-centered scholar, warrior, professor, author, lecturer, researcher, Kemetologist, master teacher, and founding of the member of the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, ASCAC. When they looked back, they found our ancient foreparents who were rich in land, natural resources, high culture, knowledge, and were the first to develop spiritual systems and worship creation. However, it was lost through infiltration, trickery, and war, as validated by Dr. Chancellor Williams and his great work, Destruction of Black Civilization. Also, too, once again, I can take a plug here and say to you what he's saying, what is being stated is a fact, and all you need to do is go to YouTube, put in Great Pyramid K 2019. Just put in Great Pyramid. It'll come up. Check out this video. It explains who built the pyramids and the monuments and all of these things and how they did it. It explains who did it and how they did it. All of the great things that we did in mathematics and in science. Truly, history rewards all research, and our people were opening new eyes to the truth. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, admonish us to use our history to understand our present condition. They all said that if you know where you came from, you'll know where you are, then you will know where to go. They said a people without a history are a lost people. Marcus, Elijah, and Malcolm told us not to agree to anything until we consult our history. We need to know if it happened before. If so, what was the outcome? And who was responsible? We learned a great deal from these leaders, and it was their determined research for truth that set the stage for such organizations as the UNIA, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the Nation of Islam, SNCC, Southern Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, CORE, Congress of Racial Equality, the Black Panther Party, MOVE, Black Student Unions, US Organization, SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and many others that came into existence but did not make the national news. These groups and their leaders began to use what they had learned to plan and build a united African family. Once we learn from that which our descendants of the original people, the idea that we were always enslaved, passed away. What about you? Once we learn from them that we are the descendants of these Africans of great note, of ancient Kemet, the idea that Africans can't rule, passed away. What about you? Once we learn from them that our people have been 6,000 years under domination of the others, and Africans spent 400 years in the most debasing, barbaric form of captivity ever, we know, and God knows, that it is time for us to come on up and be free, productive people again, a free and proud and productive people again. What about you? Once we learn from them, no matter where you come from, if you are African, if you are black, if you are melanated, you're an African. We began to study and communicate with our brothers and sisters in the motherland for that great reunification. What about you? Once we learn from them that we spent billions of dollars every year but don't own anything, we began to manufacture products for distribution and provide services so we can save our people from economic suicide. What about you? Having learned all of these things from the past and set out to plan for our social, economic, and political rebirth, we realize a new value system must be constructed. No matter what the cost, we must have unity in self, family, and community. We must support programs that teach love and respect for African people and also promote the study of our history. We must be dedicated to fostering unity in family, re-Africanization of the children, and promote self-help programs for survival of our people. Our skills, money, and other resources should be given generously to these kinds of efforts. We must make it our purpose to work for economic, social, and political self-determination, no matter what it takes. Combining the lessons from the past and the present, we can produce a prosperous future. What we have learned has set many of us free. Now that we have a plan, as well as the freedom and courage to apply it, let's join together and continue to build family, leaders, schools, businesses for social, economic, and political upliftment of our people. As the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey would say, up, you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will. What you will. If you have the will to do it, the determination to do it, it will be done. The past has prepared us for a productive future together. This is what Babu Phil had to say. We must take charge of our families and root them in African culture through thought and practice. Let me say that again. We must take charge of our families and root them in African culture through thought and practice. All of us who have an African mother, African father, or African grandparents must love our African selves and work to unite Africans everywhere. We must organize our communities and take responsibility for what is needed to develop, defend, and advance them. Ashe. 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 Yeah. Brothers and sisters, this is our end game. This is what we must do. I applaud the business effort of Black Wall Street. I know we're in America, and America's a capitalistic society. It's always about making money, you know. But one thing, it's not just about money. It's not. It is about who we are as a people. One thing that is for sure about capitalist society is individualistic. It is not a collective society. In fact, in capitalism, you as an individual can have obscene wealth, untold amounts of wealth, at the expense of so many. At the expense of so many. And so that kind of attitude and paradigm must change, because if we're to be who we are again, if we're to be African, that means it's a collective. Now, you know, I'm disappointed about the us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people. We should have been able to do what the new Black Wall Street has done, but that brother had those connections to get people to donate, or not donate, to invest millions of dollars. He had the money himself to go ahead and to have that property, which is in Stonecrest, the old Targets. And then the kinds of money to make the interior of it structurally to look, you know. So, I mean, I applaud that. Definitely. But I would love for us to be able to have something that is solely ourselves, that we created, that came out of our efforts. There was no outside investment. I don't know how much investment by Caucasians or Asians or anybody else that is in that. Like I said, they used the word minority. And I kind of like took me for a loop in emphasizing women, minorities and women. Okay. But I'm going to support it. And I'm going to find out more about it. And hopefully I can get one of the people on the program to talk about the new Black Wall Street market. No. So, let me read this article that's in the Arrow on critical race theory. Derek Bell. Professor Derek Bell was at, I think he was at Harvard. And I know wrote the book, The Bottom of the Well. Derek Bell was a serious thinker. And this idea of critical race theory, CRT, has these Caucasians up in arms, and even has some Negroes like Condoleezza Rice, who was on the, what is that program, The View, whatever it is, yeah. You know, and Sunny Halston, the sister that's on there, was just really pissed with her because she was interrupting and was talking about, I don't want to upset little white children with the history, with the factual history of what happened to African people. And that's the whole thing about white washing the history. That's what this Caucasian in Virginia, one of the things that he wrote in on in his campaign, was demolishing or getting rid of critical race theory, of writing the history the way we feel it should be written, for us parents to have input, not just academicians, but having parents, maybe having religious people, having input into the education and what is going to be taught. You know why? Because they can't handle the truth. They can't. Derek Bell, critical race theory and our students. In the 1990s, the African Center education movement gained momentum with educators, school districts, and publishers developing as well as engaging in activities that taught the true history of African people, not only in this country, but on the planet. For centuries, African students were taught that they essentially have no history. African ancestor and historian Dr. John Henry Clark outlines this in a documentary about his life, A Great Mighty Walk. He, however, refused to accept this and embarked on the path of documenting and writing about our contributions to world history. Critics and teachings from an African-centered perspective started that it was simply an attempt to have African students feel good. However, let me read that again. Critics of teaching from an African-centered perspective stated that it was just simply an attempt to have African students feel good. No, it was the truth. However, scholars, and that was the purpose. However, scholars, writers, and professors such as Dr. Malefia Ketiasanti has stated otherwise. Dr. Sante has stated that his writings do not have the aim of raising self-esteem, but that by providing accurate information, a byproduct which would be increased self-esteem. Currently, there has been a heated ongoing debate about the teaching of critical race theory in schools that have resulted in political action. Critical race theory is not new. It is an academic concept that is over 40 years old. Excuse me. The core idea is that culture is a social con. No, excuse me. The core idea is that race is a social construct and that racism is not merely the product of individual bias or prejudice, but something embedded in the legal system and politics. In essence, it is institutionalized. The basic tenets of critical race theory emerged out of a framework of legal analysis in the late 1970s and early 1980s, created by a group of legal scholars. Derek Bell is considered a pioneer in the development of the concept that came to be known as critical race theory. Other scholars involved in this evolution are Kimberly Williams Crenshaw, Richard Dialgo, Alan Friedman, Cheryl Harris, Charles R. Lawrence, Patricia L. Williams, and Mari Masuda. Some parents and politicians not only believe, but have also perpetuated the belief that critical race theory should not be taught, since it would cause students of European descent to feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any other form of psychological distress on account of their race or sex. This is interesting in view of the fact that for decades, African children sat in classrooms in which the only time they saw themselves was in a negative context. Whether it was working the fields or serving in a subservient or docile role as an enslaved person, African children were always confronted with negative images of themselves lacking dignity and respect. Images such as Little Black Sambo, Uncle Remus, Tar Baby, Uncle Ruckus were abound from Reconstruction well into the 20th century. The subject matter of books were also debilitating for African children, as in the book A Coon Alphabet in 1898. The book consists of a slapstick racial character illustrating each letter of the alphabet, each involving an African person suffering pain or humiliation for an intended comical effect. The authors of these books were European, and their picture books literally illustrated African people as being lazy, shiftless, people who spoke in a broken dialect. It is interesting that the thought of these images being harmful to the self-respect of African children was not a concern until the advent of the civil rights and black power movement in the 1960s. Since the murder of George Floyd and the emergence of the Black Lives Matter movement, some groups have become concerned about how racial matters will be discussed in classrooms. Heated discussions have taken place in school board meetings, parent meetings, and state legislatures. At least 26 states have introduced or implemented similar legislation on race education, echoing concerns about racial division. African educators in administrative roles assigned to coordinate diversity programs and policies have been treated and threatened for attempting to perform the task from which they were hired. In Missouri, the only African woman in one school board district administration resigned from her position as diversity coordinator after the threats of violence became so severe. The school district hired private security to protect her home. Several other African educators and administrators around the country have also resigned from the public school sector as a result of violence or intimidating school atmospheres. This is an alarming, as we should be concerned about the methodology and the personal teachings in it in the institutions of our schools. As a people, we need to realize that we have a responsibility to educate our children and develop or support institutions that have this mission. Also, we can develop Saturday programs or other types of educational programs for our children so they can know the truth about our history and heritage. The question is, do we have the will and the capacity to embark on this protracted mission? Do we have the will? And the one who attacked critical race theory and said they want to do something about education in schools won the governorship in Virginia and more than likely will win the governorship in New Jersey and elsewhere. Because the fact of the matter is, they're not just taking back, just like in this city, there was a bunch of cries after this election from last night about gentrification and Europeans are taking back over Atlanta. They're taking back over everything. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I know we're just as much as, this is just as much as we did this, we did that. I was going to say a very bad word. We need to get out. We need to educate ourselves, prepare ourselves, prepare our brothers and sisters on the count. We need to get out. The only place that we can be who we must be without, theoretically, without the interference of others is on the continent. We cannot do it here. No, this is not theirs, but they've claimed it. They've stole it, and they control it. The indigenous people don't control nothing. The Africans who they brought here to work it don't control a damn thing. They do. And they're not going to share it, and they're not definitely not going to give it up. So the most important thing to do, that's right, is to get out. Let's go home. Go home. Work with brothers and sisters on the continent. We have everything we need. It's the richest continent on the planet. It has all resources. I just saw a piece, a sad piece on Madagascar, the island that's off the east coast, the southeast coast of Africa. And the southeastern portion of the island of Madagascar deeply affected by climate change. It hasn't rained in years. It has not rained in years. I repeat again. It has not rained in years. When you are flying over that portion, you see nothing but dust. So it speaks to the famine. It speaks to the hunger. It speaks to the of hundreds of thousands, if not a million people. Climate change is real, but there are parts of the continent still that if change to wind, to solar, to the systems that can turn rainwater into drinking water, all whatever innovations that are there for sustainability, they must be looked at, they must be implemented. One of the big contributors to climate change is methane gas. We talked about that in the last couple of days. They talked about it, it's been on the news. And one of the big contributors is agriculture. Cows farting and belching get off methane gas. It's more even deadlier than CO2. But of course, that's big business, especially here. The thing about the biggest polluters in the world, because it's like they talked about Madagascar, they produce none of it. Those people didn't do a damn thing. They were victims of those who did. They were victims of the Chinese, the Indians, the Americans. They were victims of the biggest polluter, the Russians. They were the big polluters. And as a consequence, those blameless ones are affected. Yeah. Climate change is real. But there's areas in the world still at this moment on the continent at this moment. And if nothing is done to change it, it'll go just as everything else will go. That'll succumb to climate catastrophe. Because there are so many people, so many corporations, so many entities, so many governments who are after the short-term gains and don't give a damn about the long-term effects. Yeah, this is a fact. This is a fact, brothers and sisters. This is a fact. So, I don't have anybody in the queue. Usually I have at least about a good number of people in the queue. So all you got to do is hit star twice and join the conversation. Thought I was talking about some good stuff today. Well, for those who are listening, and because there are people who listen who don't call in to listen, or who don't, they use the computer or their phone or other means, you know. And I appreciate that. Appreciate all those who do listen. Like, yeah, those who are challenging critical race theory, they're challenging it on the fact that this history is just too hard. Like, just like the article said, they didn't consider all the evilness, the negativity that affected us as children. Looking at Little Black Sambo and Tar Baby, that they didn't consider that. Oh, but we don't want to mess up the little white children. We don't want to put any negative thoughts in their heads. In fact, we want to reword it, and just like they did, rewording the history of this country from day one since they got here, fabricating it and making themselves, you know, heroes. The white man's burden. Their manifest destiny. Their ends justified the means. Their ends. The ends of having a society justified the means of extermination, elimination, and brutality and imprisonment. Their ends justified the means. And we're not going to teach that. We're not going to talk about that. You got this European Jew I see on Facebook all the time. I think his last name is Horowitz, I guess. I'm not sure. We talk about the Black Lives Matter movement is violent and they're not real. And so what else they be saying? I can't breathe. That, you know, I haven't given too much time to it because I understand that the European will do whatever he can to lie to no end because he is an habitual liar. Do whatever they can do to maintain their position of dominance and control. It's what he does. You know? And so therefore, when they talk about we want input into the education, so no, we don't want no critical race theory. We don't want you talking about adverse issues and impacts that African people and people of different people have gone through as a result of Europeans exerting themselves, exerting their manifest destiny by eliminating people. 646-646, good afternoon. 646-646, good afternoon. I guess not. Must be one of these days, you know. 505-505, good afternoon. I guess not. 505-505, good afternoon. Yeah, sometimes people just want to listen. They don't want to talk, they just want to listen. I understand that. And that's cool. And, you know, and see, I understand why somebody can support Donald Trump. As effed up as he is, and all the things that he did prior to him running for office, while he ran for office, during his time in office, and even after he got out of office. You know, people are still supporting this man. It's unbelievable, isn't it? But it's not when you understand the mindset of Europeans. You see it happening. So, I don't know. Somebody said, am I on... You know. Oh, Brother Jay said there's something wrong with the phone line. Okay. Somebody had mentioned there was something wrong with the phones. Wow. So that's what's happening. That's why I don't see anything happening here. Apologize for that. I really want to say that... I'm going to definitely try my best to get this correct by the time, you know, because I won't be back on the air until, let me see, what day is that? Sorry about that, family. November 12th. I won't be back on until November 12th. I'm going to Milwaukee for the service for my good brother, Brother Shango Bamey, Brother Shango, who made his transition a few days ago. And the service is this weekend. Then when I come back, I'm going to Jackson, Mississippi. Me and my grandsons to be with Brother Shango's brother, who is my best friend, Rick Johnson, for his grandson. So, and that's going to be next week, Tuesday. So I'm on. By the time I come back, it'll be Wednesday evening or Wednesday afternoon. So I won't be back on until the 12th. I'm back on the 12th. I'll try to schedule something up. This will be one of the first Fridays I haven't been on a Friday. Let me see. When was the last time I was on a Friday? I don't even know. I was gone mostly all of last month in the hospital and all of that madness. And I'm sorry that the phone lines have been messed up. And I was wondering why, because the people had been calling, different people, and then they were hanging up. Well, you know, the only thing that I can do is what I do, because I don't know what the technical situation is. I have a process of coming on. I make sure that I go through that, you know, seriously, in the way I'm supposed to do it, and usually that works. Obviously, it didn't work this time. You know, it seemed like it did, but it didn't. Thought that it did. Yeah. Well, I appreciate. I believe I was broadcasting, but I think the phone line situation was bad. So you could hear it over the airwaves, but you couldn't listen to it on the line on your phone, or you couldn't call in. So, sorry about that, family. I will always try to do better. Always try to do better. And I thought I'd try to put together a good program today with the good information, especially coming from the Arrow newsletter, which I have a lot of love and respect for the work that those brothers and sisters in San Antonio, Texas do, you know, and in keeping in the forefront and honoring their founder, Brother James Phil Johnson, Babu Phil. Babu means grandfather, and so I'm quite sure all the young people called him Babu, like my grandsons call me Babu. And those who also honor him by calling him Baba. Baba Phil. So, I think that's that weekend. Yes, it is. That's that weekend, November 12th, where it's going to be a soft opening again for the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. And so when I come back on the air on that day, I'll definitely be talking about that. And I plan to go out there by Stonecrest, or go out there by the new Black Wall Street Market, because I'm not necessarily going to Stonecrest. That's the city of Stonecrest. And, of course, the city of Stonecrest broke away from Lithonia, broke away from Atlanta to create its own city. And it's dominated by us. So it's an American African city or town, village, whatever, controlled by us. And the brother who had the Target building, that brother, Brother Allen, he's the one that is bringing forth the new Black Wall Street Market with over 100 stores and many other things. Dining. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to, you know, to see it, and particularly when it's fully open. I know I'll be there for that soft opening, you know, but when it's fully open. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I have some mixed feelings because that's what we wanted to do. We meaning us lifting us. We wanted to have a mall. Like that's what that is. That's a mall with various shops and so forth. And the idea of the mall was going to be that the shops were owned by the cooperative. The shops were owned by the cooperative. You know? So, well, brothers and sisters, it's that time again. We end this program like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program, African Perspectives, here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. That's why every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in that time frame, that's what we discuss. That's what we discuss, and we try to find ways where we can get ourselves up out of this madness, out of this insanity. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, brothers and sisters, we appreciate it. We discuss that. And we look towards doing all that we can to help our people come up out of this. You know? Because on the continent, we have all the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without and they don't want to pay for. We have all of that. We have everything. But yet, we've been trained to believe that we are a poor people. And unfortunately, many of us believe it. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. I really appreciate you listening. Hope to see you back here on Friday the 12th, November 12th. And in that time, I hope to have safe travels. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. And I will see you again soon. Peace, family.